Exodus? You remember, and I'm sure they still do it. I don't really listen to a lot of music and songs on the radio like I used to do when I was younger. But do you remember the top 10 songs, you know, especially in the summertime? There were all the teenagers would be listening. Well, is my song, the one I really like, is that one of the top 10? I see some smiling faces. Have you been there? You know what I'm talking about. They have lists of top 10 everything. If you go on the Discovery Channel, they say, of the top 10 best-lived cities, I'm sure San Francisco might be somewhere there, though. But isn't it something how those top 10 lists, whatever they may be, and maybe you have a top 10 list, too. You know your favorite relatives on the top 10. I don't know. But you know something about lists, they always change, don't they? Well, God has a top 10 list, too. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. And we talk about honor. Certainly today we honor our dads and our granddads, but we also want to understand how honor works in families and in marriages, okay? And God's top 10 list. As you know, the first four of the top 10 are about our relationship with Him. And then the last six of that top 10 is our relationship with one another. And certainly our relationship with God should be reflected in our relationship with each other, especially in the body of Christ. But it doesn't just stop there. We should see that reflected in our families, in our neighborhood, in our community, where we work, where we go to school. And so we see that God's top 10, it doesn't change. Aren't you glad? I sure am. You know, you don't have to say, okay, now, did he switch the last four on me or what? No. First four, last six, they all fit together. But I find it interesting. I hope you find it interesting for today's message, but more than that, for your marriage, and also for your family, take a look at the fifth commandment. It's Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And it's interesting, he puts that one right there in between relationship with him and our relationship with others. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long. Well, I like that part, don't you? In the land the Lord your God has given you. And then, of course, we have the remaining commandments. But isn't it interesting that right there in that transition from our relationship with God, we all need that relationship. We were created to have that relationship, to honor Him, to worship Him, to serve Him, to love Him with all of our hearts, our minds, and our soul. And because of that, He brings us in a loving, gracious way into relationship with others. And notice, number five on the hit parade there, if you will, God's hit parade, is our relationship with families. Honor your parents. I almost regret that we let kids go to junior church. But I pray that as parents you'll share this with them. In your outline before you, this commandment is so important. And as Arjo was pointing out, in the adult class, God repeats certain things because we don't get it until we get it, and sometimes we forget it, what we got. And so He reminds them again. Well, this particular commandment comes up in both covenants, if you will, the Old Testament and in the New Testament too. Take a look at you. Honor your father and your mother. Here in Deuteronomy, you have it before you on your sheet. As the Lord your God commanded you, so that your days may be long. Boy, that certainly requires an amen, right? We all want days that are long. Amen? Yeah. But also it says that you may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. And God promises. As we honor our parents, and we should never just think that we're just limiting this to parents and children, because I believe that the concept of honor is woven throughout the Word of God. And as we honor one another, and in the marriage we honor husbands and wives honoring one another, esteeming one another, praying for one another, encouraging one another, honoring one another, parents honoring their children too. There's ways of honoring that. We'll take a look at some examples of how one man named Eli, he didn't honor God by doing the right things with his kids. And he was a priest. Think of that. But anyhow, as we go here, if you will, we have it again, just so you don't think that this is an Old Testament commandment. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Honor. Honor is a big thing with God. As we honor Him in worship and service, and as we honor our parents, as He's commanded us to do. The Old Testament word there is to make heavy. The idea that it's a great weight of worth, if you will. To esteem highly. Another word in the New Testament used there is to honor, to place a value on something or someone. It's a universal command, is what we're trying to point out here. That it's both in the Old and New Testament. So none of us would say, well, Bill, that's the Old Testament. You know, that's where the Ten Commandments are. And yet, you know, God's law, the Holy Spirit fills into our hearts that you and I can enabling us to obey God's law. Universal command in the Bible is to honor our parents. See all those various verses you see right next to that statement? Where it's in the New Testament? Now, what it doesn't mean? Maybe you want to write these things down. What it doesn't mean. I would like to just share three things what honoring your parents doesn't mean. It doesn't mean to seek their approval at any cost. It doesn't mean that. Okay? There are certain things that you need to hold dear to your heart. Your relationship with Jesus Christ. Your relationship in the church. And all these other things that God has given you and gifted us in Christ Jesus. So honoring your parent does not mean that we will seek their approval at any cost. Number two, it doesn't mean putting oneself at risk in their hurtful and evil behavior. Sometimes I'm asked, well, Bill, what about my father who's been abusive? How can I honor him? My mother, she's abusive. How can I honor her? Well, God's command for us to honor them. There are ways that we need to honor our parents because we need to obey God's word. But what it doesn't mean is to put ourselves at risk. We need to set boundaries. But still, setting those boundaries, we need to honor our parents because God has required it and God has commanded it. Another thing that honoring our parents is not, it doesn't mean to ignore or to deny the past offense or hurts. It doesn't say that all of a sudden I'm forgetting all those things that my father did to me or my mother did to me. It doesn't mean that we deny the things in the past. But it does mean that we have to work through the process of forgiveness. And we had that last week. One of the five words to heal and to give hope to marriages and families. The process of forgiveness, not just the act of forgiveness, but the process and how that process brings about a new relationship to reconciliation by the grace of God. That needs to start. But again, those three issues, if you will, I believe, have somewhat set some boundaries of what honoring our parents does not mean. But having said that, what does honoring our parents really mean? Let me share with you a couple of points. You have it on your outline before you, and we'll go quickly through them. Number one, from a biblical perspective, what does honoring our parents look like? Well, I think it looks something like this. It means placing great value on your relationship with them. That it has great worth. Because those are the parents that God has given us. Amen? Now, whether they are adoptive parents or biological parents or step-parents, if they are the parents that God has put into our lives and our lives into their lives, those are the ones that we have a relationship with. And it's temporary. And it's so short. And so one of the things in honoring our parents, number one, is placing great value on your relationship with them. Number two, seeking to improve and adjust the relationship as you grow. As you both grow. Parents grow, don't they? I'm a parent, I'm a grandparent. Boy, have I grown. Yeah, you know, Arthur, you know what I mean, brother. Yeah. And so we need to invest in that relationship. If we're honoring our parents as God has called us and commanded us to honor our parents. It's sad to say, and we can't blame it on our culture. We can't blame it on our society. How many children are detached and disconnected with their parents? Never making a phone call, never making a visit. That's not honoring. That's not honoring our parents. So seeking to improve and adjust the relationship as we grow, because there are seasons of maturity in both of our lives, both the parents and the children. Number three, giving recognition that they have done something right. They really have. You're here. Okay? I mean, wouldn't you think that would be something that they did was good? Right? Yeah. And again, this applies to biological parents, adoptive parents, and step parents. Those are the ones God has put into your life. And so we need to certainly give recognition that they have done some things right. Now, I have friends too, and they struggle with this particular aspect because they, Bill, my dad left me when I was 5 years old. I don't have a clue what he did in those first 5 years, and I have no clue where he's at right now. What do I do? Well, ask God. Ask God to put on your heart some of the things that God knows, that by God's grace and by God's mercy, even if you didn't know the Lord, that he did something right. For one thing, you're still alive. Okay, so giving recognition so that they have done something right. Acknowledge the sacrifice that they made for you. Yes, maybe you had a real hard dad. Maybe you had one who was really strong and rigid and just didn't seem to bend one way or the other. Or a mom. But you need to honor them. Maybe in that hardness and unbending relationship and responsibility, they gave some things up. I know my dad did. He was a hard man. I remember those things, and I thank God for those things. The sacrifice. Number five, seeing them as Jesus sees them. How does Jesus see them? With compassion and mercy. With compassion and mercy. And we need to see our parents as Jesus sees them. Don't see them through some past experience, because that is the past. You need to forgive them. And you need to start that process that we talked about last week from God's Word about what forgiveness is all about. Now, if you need to have a refresher, I know that Troy will provide a CD for you if you weren't here when we talked about forgiveness. It's an act, it's a decision, it's a choice, but it doesn't stop there. It's a process. And so if you can't see them as Jesus sees them, you need to work on the forgiveness issue. Forgiving them even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Number six. And number seven, caring for them as their circumstances change, because life changes. Isn't that a bummer? You know? Sometimes life changes, and you know, as we get older, it's changing in the wrong direction. But it changes. Praise God for the gospel. Amen? You know, he changes us. And so that change that the gospel is bringing in your life, in my life, certainly should be reflected in our relationship with our parents as we honor them in honoring God first and foremost. Because if we obey his commands, we're honoring God. Okay? And so as circumstances change, both theirs and ours, we need to ask God for wisdom how to adapt to those changing circumstances and as the needs require. I know some kids that have grown up, they're adults, and they've just written their parents off. Now, you know some that have done that too, I'm sure. That's not right. That's wicked. And that's not honoring God, and it's not honoring their parents. Well, let's go on. First command with a promise. Isn't it good? So God said, do this, you know, and I'm going to give you a blessing. Now, he didn't do that with the others, did he? He said, you got to do it. Don't worship idols of all the first four. Don't steal. Don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Well, those things don't. But here's one with a promise. A general principle of faith. You might want to circle this. A general principle of faith that works in every one of our lives is this. Obedience to God brings blessings, and disobedience to God brings chastisement and loss of blessings. That's a general principle of faith. And we're not saying that God is so mechanical that it's a conditional thing, that God is pragmatic, if you will, you know. If you do this, there's... No. Why does he do that? Why does he bring just discipline and chastisement into our lives when we don't honor our parents or when we don't obey God? He always does it for our best. In fact, Hebrews tells us if you're a born-again believer, God brings these things into your life to make you holy. Okay, so we have, if you will, that general principle of faith. Obeying God brings blessings, disobedience to God brings chastisement and the loss of blessings. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, wait a second, Bill, we sang all these songs about grace. Did you sing along with us? You did, okay, all right. So all those songs about grace, and you might be thinking, wait a second, Bill, we're a grace church. Yes, we are, praise God. Because we have a grace gospel, a gospel of grace. But that doesn't mean that because of God's grace and working in your life, in my life, in the life of the church, that we can be disobedient to God. That's not how we respond in love to Christ. If you love me, you will obey my what? Commandments, okay? And so it's not an issue of grace versus law. It's grace with love. Love for God and our devotion to Him. And so it doesn't negate grace at all. Absolutely not. Let's go. Blessings bestowed for honor bestowed. What he's talking about in this command that has a promise, he blesses two things, quality of life and quantity of life. I like those two aspects, don't you? Quality of life and quantity of life. Which do you want more of? Well, you know, I want both. I want quality and I want quantity. Let's take a look, if you will. First thing, that it may be well with you. He's talking about the quality of life. Now, what is it? Now, for the children of Israel, that first announcement, the declaration of that commandment, it was in the promised land that God would bless them. He would bless them physically. He would bless them geographically. He would bless them spiritually. But we have to apply it to us because God applies it to us. The same commandment, the same blessing, is there in Ephesians chapter 6. So how does that work out? I think it would certainly be spiritual blessings. It might not always be physical blessings. Christians get sick. Even those who honor the parents come down with cancer, have heart attacks. That's life. Other side of glory. But all these things are like a feather compared to the weight of glory to come. Yeah. And so, it certainly includes spiritual blessings, and physical blessings, emotional blessings. But let me share with you some things that I believe it really does, very clear, does mean. That it may be well with you. Number one, or that first bullet, obedience simply brings blessings. And so, it's better to obey than to rebel, because rebellion brings wrath, and chastisement brings loss. Prayers are unhindered. If I'm disobeying God, even as a born-again believer, that's going to affect my prayer life. God says that in His Word. If I regard iniquity in my heart, and I don't do anything about it, and ask God to cleanse my heart through the process of forgiveness on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, my prayer life is going to be hindered. God tells me that. And so as I'm honoring my parents as God is instructing me, my prayers for them and for others and for myself too, yeah, will be hindered. I think sometimes in family life, when children don't see prayers being answered, this might be the problem. That they're not obeying God in honoring their parents. That's one of the blessings. That's one of the qualities that God brings into life. As we obey our parents, I believe that's one issue. Not to say that we don't have other sins. I'm not trying to say that's the only sin. Bill Gray has a lot of them. I got to confess it to the Lord every day. But my relationship, my fellowship with my Heavenly Father, with my Savior, and to be open to the ministry of the Holy Spirit within my hearts. But if I'm not honoring my parents, I know for sure that's disobeying God, and my prayer life will be hindered. Spiritual and physical blessings, yes, to be sure. There's something else you need to know. That part of the quality of life blessing is that as you honor your parents, your children will see a godly model. That's important. It really is. Because, beloved, I don't have to tell you the statistics and everything else about how family life is just shattering. All around us. And even within us. We have to weep. We have to get on our knees and say, Lord, forgive me. I have dishonored you by dishonoring my parents. And then again, I'm not saying that there aren't other things that we need to confess. All sin needs to be confessed. Remember Grimm's fairy tales? Some of you are probably raised on them. Here's one. About a little old man. Once there was a little old man. His eyes blinked and his hands trembled. When he ate, he clattered with silverware distressingly. Missed his mouth with a spoon, as often or not, dribbled a bit of food here on his tablecloth and all over the place around him. Now he lived with his married son, having nowhere else to live. And his son's wife didn't like that arrangement. I can't have this, she said to her husband. It interferes with my right to happiness. So she and her husband took the old man gently and firmly by the arm and led him to the corner of the kitchen. There they set him on a stool and gave him his food in an earthenware bowl. From then on, he always ate in the corner, blinking at the table with wistful eyes. One day his hands trembled rather more than usual, and the earthen bowl fell and broke on the floor. Well, if you're a pig, said the daughter-in-law, you must eat like a pig and eat in a trough. So she made him a little wooden trough where he would get his meals every day. These people had four-year-old son, whom they were very fond of and loved him dearly. One evening, the young man noticed that his boy played intently with some bits of wood and asked what he was doing. I'm making a trough, he said, smiling up for approval, to feed you and Mama out when I get big. The man and his wife looked at each other for a while and didn't say anything. Then they cried a little. Then they went to the corner of the kitchen and took the old man, put their arms around him and brought him back to the table, sat him in a comfortable chair, gave him his food and a plate. In front of then on, nobody ever scolded him when the plates clattered, the cup chattered, spilled, or things broke. A model. A model. That's the gist of this little Grimm story. A model. When our children see us modeling, honoring our parents, that comes to the next point. Come now, if you will. Number two, that you may live long on the earth. We all want longevity of life, but we want quality of longevity of life, right? No sense living to 110 and you're barely making it. I'd rather live to 65 and still breathing, and say, Lord, take me home. But here, the quantity of life. In the Old Testament, when a son or a daughter didn't obey their parents, this one really came into play. Because you know what the penalty was for dishonoring and disobeying parents? Who knows? Who knows? John, out loud. Death. By what? By what? By stoning. By stoning. That's clearly instructed by God. If you have a son or a daughter who disobey and do not honor our rebellion against you, they take them before the elders and then the men of that area, they stone that child. And so this really came into a very realistic experience for the kids at that time. But what about longevity of life now? No, we don't stone you, so don't worry, okay? Well, you're looking around. Are you looking for the stone? Don't worry. Christ has paid the penalty. We need to ask for forgiveness if we've disobeyed our parents. But the thing is, I think there's one thing that's clear in the quality of life is the longevity of honor that goes from generation to generation. The longevity of honor that goes from generation to generation. You give a model, an example, a loving example, a godly example of how you are honoring your parents. That registers, that imprints the lives of our children. And they will honor you. But if you give an example where you're not honoring your parents, the likelihood is your children will not honor you in the longevity of your life. But isn't it great that it can begin a generational blessing? Parents, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. That, I think, is one of the imports of this promise. is the longevity. Case in point, Eli, turn with me to 1 Samuel. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's 1 Samuel chapter 2. Eli. Eli was a priest. He was also a prophet. Combination. He spoke from the Lord. He led in worship. Eli. 1 Samuel chapter 2. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 263. Now, with Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, there's multi-dimensions of honor going on here. Let's take a look very quickly at God's pronouncement. In chapter 2, where the Lord is talking about Eli's sons, chapter 2, verse 12, Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. First of all, they weren't honoring the Lord. Take a look at verse 17. This sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. Let's go on, if you will, in the same chapter. Now Eli, verse 22. Now Eli, who was very old, let's take a look at verse 23. So he said to them, to his two sons, that were not honoring God, and they were not honoring him. And especially here we see it. Eli says to him, why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, it is not a good report I hear spreading among the Lord's people. And they didn't honor him by stopping to stop what they were doing. And God made a pronouncement upon Eli and also his two sons. And it was an issue of honoring. Honoring to God and honoring within the household there. Between his two sons and himself. Take a look, if you will, the latter part of verse 29. And the Lord is speaking. He says, why do you honor your sons more than me? Take a look at verse 30 at the end of that. Far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me, I will be disdained. Well, you probably, if you don't know the story of Eli, what happened is Israel went to war with the Philistines. They took the Ark of the Covenant with Hophni and Phinehas. And they went into the war. They lost the battle. The Ark was right there. What happened, Lord? You failed us. No, they failed God. They did not honor him, and they weren't honoring, especially in Eli's household. It's multifaceted, multidimensional issue of honor. Eli was not honoring God he was not honoring God by not giving godly discipline in the lives of his two boys. They weren't honoring him by responding to his rebuke. And it went beyond, certainly well before then, because they didn't just turn out that way then. They were in the process of growing that way over the years. And so we see an example, if you will, of honor is an issue here in this family. And take a look, if you will. Well, the two sons died. And then in chapter 4, verse 18, Eli was concerned. He was back home wondering about, I'm sure he was concerned about his sons, but he was really concerned about the Ark of the Covenant. And then he mentioned the Ark of the Covenant. Eli, that it was taken. It was taken captive by the Philistines. Eli fell backward off his chair by the side of the gate. His neck was broken, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had led Israel 40 years. He wasn't leading them that well, both in the home and in his service. Another one is Absalom and David. Absalom dishonored his father, began with murdering his stepbrother, because his stepbrother had raped his stepsister. Boy, talk about a dysfunctional family. All that going on. David had many, many things that could be praised and are praised. He was a man after God's own heart, but David was not perfect. And one of the issues, David certainly was not a good father. He did not raise his children with godly discipline. He did not exercise that grace of God in the lives of his children. Let's go on to the next point in our outline. Honoring the Lord makes it easier to honor others. Why? Because we're obeying him. And God gives us grace when we obey him to obey him and to do what he says. Turn with me, if you will, to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. Titus chapter 2. When you and I hear God's command or read God's commandment in his word, we need to trust that where God has commanded, he enables us to obey. Take a look at Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Talking about how the grace of God enables us to obey God. For the grace of God brings salvation has appeared to all men, of course, and personified in the person Jesus Christ. But the grace of God continues in the life of the believer. It teaches us. The word there for teach there is training and disciplining. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. One of the aspects of godly lives in the context of a family is for children to honor their parents. That it may go well with them and their days may be long, but that it would be a godly model indeed for the generations to come as we honor God. To honor, if you will, seeing that honor is such an important, we have a number of verses there that talk about honor. 1 Samuel chapter 2, it says, those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be disdained. Again, Psalm 50, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you will honor me. God wants his honor. He wants his glory. Malachi, we honor the Lord in our giving. John chapter 5, verse 23, we honor the Lord in our worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, we honor the Lord with our bodies. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 5, we honor the Lord in our praying. These are the ways we honor the Lord. Revelation chapter 4, we honor the Lord in worship and in submission to his rule. Many other verses throughout the Word of God, we honor the Lord in obeying and serving him. And we honor the Lord by bringing others to Jesus Christ. The last point in our study here this morning, in honor and obedience to God, he gives the grace to honor our parents and others. God is at work in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God will strengthen you and through Christ to do those things. Because a Christian life is a new life. Where should we be really seeing the most evidence and the most illustrative honoring of parents by children in Christian homes? Like we said last week, where should we be seeing forgiving and forgiveness going on constantly in Christian lives, in Christian marriages, in Christian homes? The same with honoring. And so we see here, if you will, where God tells us throughout his word, although the New Testament, to honor, even when we don't feel like it. How many here do things you don't feel like? I do. I remember being in the Navy. I don't want to do that. So I signed the contract with Uncle Sam. And you know what? That chief said, Bill, you're going to do it. I don't want to. I don't care. You're going to do it. And sometimes I would say that to my parents. I don't want to do it. Well, you're going to do it. Yeah. Oh, so we do a lot of things that we don't want to do according to how we feel, okay? And we do a lot of things. So we can't say, I don't feel like doing it for honoring my parents. We do a lot of things both in marriage and family at work. We need to honor the Lord. We need to honor the Lord by honoring our parents when they won't receive it. And sometimes people say, you know, my folks, they don't really care. They're not going to receive my honor. They're going to just laugh at me. So what? You're honoring God by doing that. Let them laugh. But I'll tell you, my experience has been in ministry and in counseling. Most parents, you might not think of it, but they really, really, one more time, really want their kids to honor them. They really do. Why? Because that's how God has created families. That's a mechanism, part of the mechanism God has created families, that we honor our parents. So the next generation can follow that same example, and the next. Think of the prodigal son that was just read this morning from Luke 15. He thought his father wasn't going to receive him as a son. Do you remember that? I bet he was absolutely surprised. I know that if there were other people in the community, they were absolutely surprised. Because here's a full-grown man who was really offended by his son, by what he requested, and the son went out and spent everything that he got from his dad. Boy, he should be right there with a pile of stones. What did that man do? He ran. Old men in New Testament day, they didn't run. And there he is, the father running to him. He was waiting for him to return. Did the son come to realize that father really wanted to be honored? Yes. Maybe you're a prodigal son or daughter, and you have not been honoring your parents. Don't let that be an excuse. Because I would say, the greatest percentage of times is they want you to honor them. Go back. Love them. Grace them. Gospel them. Honor them. Sometimes we say, well, we don't think they deserve it. And I've heard that. I've heard that from kids grown up. And they said, Bill, you don't know how my father has abused me sexually. That's still your dad, whether biological, adoptive, or step. And you need to honor him. Again, not to put yourself at risk. And not to deny what happened in the past. But God gives grace. That in some measure of that grace that God has given you, that you can honor that dad, your dad. And I'll be honest with you, I would find it hard. And I can understand, and you and I can understand it, how difficult that would be. How much more difficult was it for God the Father to see his son hung on Calvary's cross, seeing him in that time, in that moment, not as a son, but all of the sins of humanity. Yes, all that sexual abuse and all the hitting, all those things were on Christ. And all the things I've done and you've done. And God forgave us because of Jesus. So the grace of God that abounds to us through Christ Jesus, you can ask God, you can pray and ask God, say, Father, I want to obey your word by honoring my father. Out of my heart, I can't do that. Lord, help me, because I first of all want to honor you, and then in whatever measure of your grace, I want to honor him. Personal application, very quickly. Honoring parents and others begins with honoring the Lord. Are there areas in your life right now where you can't improve? You're honoring him. I search my heart every day. Lord, how can I honor you? Where am I falling? Where am I? Because we all sin. All of us fall short. Lord, where have I fallen short as a parent? Now I'm a grandparent. He's given me a second chance. Praise God. But where? Are there things that we need to improve? Yes, I need to improve. Are you dishonoring your parents right now? If you are, you need to ask the Lord to end them for forgiveness today. As a parent, how can you help your children to honor you? That's an important application. We can help our children to obey God and honor their parents. We need to ask the Lord for wisdom of how we can do that. Maybe, just maybe, maybe it's something that you did in the past that you need to ask them to forgive you. Maybe that's the roadblock. I don't know, but God knows. So are you dishonoring your parents? If you are, you need to ask the Lord and ask them for forgiveness. As a parent, how can you help your children honor you? Maybe it begins with forgiving them. If you've been raised in a family where honor was absent, some of us were, make that commitment to the Lord that you will start today and continue with your family for his glory. We talked about honor. Not just the word, but what it conveys from God's word to our hearts and our relationship with our children, and we as children in relationship to our parents. Oh, how we need the grace of God. Amen. All of us do. For we all fall short. But beloved, that is a wonderful thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God is a God of the second chance, the third, and the fourth. If today you will say in your heart before God, Lord, today I want to begin a legacy of honor in my family. I want to begin by honoring my parents. As hard as it's going to be, Lord, I know you're going to give me the grace to obey you and honor you. I want to start today for your glory, for your sake. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you for your goodness and grace. Lord, there's so many times when we realize every day how much we need that continuing work, transforming work of your gospel in our lives. That the gospel never stops its work. Thank you, Father, for that, because Christ never stops continuing his work in our lives. Father, we thank you. Help us as husbands and wives. Help us, Father, as parents. Help us as children to honor you by honoring our parents. Lord, even when we have parents that have died, we can still honor them by speaking about them in an honorable way to our children today. So help us, Father, to do that, that we might have that legacy of honor in each generation, in honoring you and honoring one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.